The title of the message is this: How to Be Renewed in Exhausting Times. You know, I on purpose, deliberately wanted to share a message today about renewal. Because the Sunday after Christmas, and between this and the New Year's, we are just a tired people. I want to thank you for coming out. Thank you for listening online. Because we have had a huge energy expenditure during the month of December. And the rhythm of life, we're just tired people. And so I wanted to share a message that I hope that when you leave today, you'll be able to figure out where you're at in terms of your own emotional and physical energy. And there's some great insights in the scriptures about waiting and how to renew your strength. And that's the purpose of today. I want to share three different benefits of waiting on God. Then I'm going to talk about four different positions that we do life in. But in your notes, there's some verses there from Isaiah 40:31. I'd like for you to read those with me. And it gives us some wonderful insights of how to renew ourselves when we're tired. Let's read. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them who have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. All right. I want to give you a simple definition of this thing called wait or waiting that we're going to use in the message today. Here it is. When you and I wait upon the Lord, there's something that happens that's called renewal. We renew something. And we're going to talk about that. But here's the definition of waiting. It means this: staying in one place or delaying action. If you go to the doctor's office, you may end up waiting in one place until you get in to see him or her. If you're on a tie-up on the interstate, and you are backed up, you are waiting. There's nothing else to do. You are just stuck. You are delaying action, and you're staying in one place. And so we're going to talk about this thing called waiting today. Because you know why? The secret is you can be renewed when you wait in the proper way. And so let me give you three slides here of some quotes on waiting. Here's first. The only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing that you had. Isn't that true? You ever got out in front and to say, whoa, I need to pull back a little bit. I should have waited a little longer. I think we've all done that. All right, here's the next one. With God, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Is there something in your life that you have wanted to come to pass that hasn't happened yet? Desire of the heart, expectation. You've been waiting maybe years, maybe decades. You know, there's a huge secret that when you wait on God and you're in this season of waiting, let me tell you, it's never wasted. We think it is because we don't see things happening. But in fact, God is at work behind the scenes. So waiting is never a wasted season. Here's the third one. Waiting on God isn't wasting time, it's training. You see, when we spend that time in his presence, we are in a zone of delayed action, or we stay in one place. Let me tell you, we're learning something. God is saying, wait on me because he is at work. So What I want to do now is share with you three benefits of waiting upon God. Number one, in your notes. Here's the first one. I intentionally slow down. I intentionally slow down. When you and I wait before God, and let me describe what I'm eating. Maybe you get up in the morning and you take 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. You just get your Bible out, you pray, you're by yourself. You literally just you just bow before Him and you wait. And when you do that, you just slow down. Your spirit gets quiet and still. Let me tell you, that's powerful stuff. Read with me Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Circle the words be still. Here's my question. This past week, how much time have you taken to be still in God's presence? I mean, just ask yourself that question, because it's huge when God directs us to slow down, to somehow downshift, be still, and He will do something in us. Read with me Micah 7:7 in your notes. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. So this, Mike is saying, I will wait for God. I'm just going to delay any action and be still in His presence. We're familiar with Psalm 23, the great, the Lord is my shepherd psalm. There's a couple of verses that we've read, and I want to read them to you. Here's what it says. He, God, makes me lie down in green pastures. Second part of this verse. He leads me beside quiet waters. Verse 3. He restores my soul. You know where you get restored? Beside the quiet waters and when you lie down in green pastures. Now, there's two ways we get there. One is when we intentionally, on purpose, voluntarily do it ourselves. Be still. Wait upon the Lord. I make a choice in the morning to just be still. That's one way. You know the other way we get there? Sometimes we're forced to get there. We get sick. We have an accident. We over-push ourselves. Life crashes, and we are forced to wait. So two ways we get there. The better way is when we just voluntarily, intentionally slow down life. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. When God tells you to, slow down. The word that you may receive this morning that you need to hear is this. You've been through a heavy December. It's been busy for probably all of us. He wants you to slow down. You know why? When you wait, you're renewed. You gain something back. And so this whole thing about intentionally slow your life down, that's the first step. God calls you to do that. Align your heart with Him. Tomorrow morning, get up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm just going to intentionally slow down and listen. I'm going to wait. Delay any action until I just get my heart renewed with Him. Okay, number two. The second benefit of waiting on God is this. I clarify my priorities. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, great insight to this. Let's read it. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. You are here and you are waiting for something to happen in your life. We are not naturally patient people. But Habakkuk says, hey, if you slow it down, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get clarity on what's important in your life. You know, we live life at a pretty fast pace for the most part, do we not? And when we're going fast, we can lose our priorities. But if you slow it down, you take some time to kind of just step back, you know what it's going to do? You're going to get a clearer picture of what's most important in your life. And Habakkuk says, hey, there's an appointed time to this. Slow it down, write it down, wait for it. And clarity can come into your life. Here's a quote. There will be times when the will of God will not be clear to us. You're here this morning and you have to make a decision. Maybe today, maybe this next week, maybe in a month. And you're not clear or sure what to do. I found it interesting. I can be going through life and I'm making decisions kind of rapid fire. It feels good. It feels right. And I'll come up on a circumstance and I just won't know what to do. I just need to slow it down because I don't know the decision. It goes like this. During those occasions, we are expected to retain our faith and wait upon the Lord. So if you're in one of those unclear positions, you know what the answer is? Spend some waiting time. Get clarity from God Himself of what you should do. Okay, intentionally slow down, number one. Number two, clarify your priorities. And the third one I love, here it is. The third thing is I refuel my physical, emotional, and mental reserves. You see, when you wait upon God, you delay action, you stay in one place, here's what happens. Your body, your mind, and your emotions begin to catch up. This week, my hunch is many of you here need to catch up. It's just been a big month of December. That's how life works. Christmas and the buildup to it. And so read with me the verse in your notes there. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is huge. If you're willing to wait, you will experience renewal. And there's a relationship between the two. Physically, emotionally, mentally, if you let up on the gas pedal, you will somehow catch up. You'll catch your breath. You know, a car is good for so many miles. I was talking with someone yesterday. He has an electric car. And I said, how many miles can you go on the battery? And he said, depends on the weather, 300 if it's warm, maybe 200 if it's cold. But here's the point. Every gas tank, every battery charge of an electric car has a certain limit. You can only go so many miles, and you got to pull in and recharge it. Your body is the same way. You're good for so many events and experiences, and then you've got to pull in and recharge. You wait. You stay in one place, delay any action, and somehow let God renew you. Here's a quote. Don't waste your time waiting. In other words, I want us to understand, if you feel like you need to wait and be still, it's not a waste of time. It's an investment in yourself. And what will happen? You will refuel your tank emotionally, physically, mentally. I mean, it feels good when you start to fill it back up because we're on empty, especially right after Christmas, after everything that's gone on in December. So, benefits of waiting. Wow. Make a decision to intentionally slow down. Choose it rather than having it chosen for you. Number two, it'll clarify your priorities. You'll get a clearer picture of life when you slow down. Number three, refuel yourself. Give yourself an opportunity to recharge here. Okay, I want to share with you four positions we do life in. And the verse in your notes, let's read it together. We read it earlier, but let's read it again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So in this verse, there's four positions of where we do life out of. And I want to just walk through them. Number one in your notes. The first position is waiting. We do a lot of life in a waiting position. We're waiting to pick someone up. We're waiting to go to this event. We do a lot of waiting in life, and that's okay. So read with me Psalm 130, 5 and 6 in your notes. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Two times, it talks about the watchmen. It's not a typo. In the scriptures, it's a repetition. What's a watchman do? They're on the top wall of a citadel, and they have the night shift. And they're looking out over into the horizon to protect the city in the event somebody comes to attack that citadel or that dwelling. And so the watchman is on a wall looking into the darkness. You know what the watchman's waiting for? The sunrise. Because when the sun comes up, life comes and it's a better feeling. When it's dark, it's hard to wait. But the watchman is waiting for the morning to come alive. The psalmist says, I will wait for God more earnestly, desirously, than the watchman waits for the sunrise. I mean, waiting on God is a big deal because it's something God has wired us to get in tune with him. Here's a quote. In our waiting, God is working. I want you to grasp that. You're here today and you want something real bad in your life. It hasn't happened. But when you wait on God for it, you're just still, you've delayed action, you park yourself. You know what happens? You release God to work behind the scenes. And so God is at work even when we wait, and we just have to understand that, hey, it's okay to wait. And so waiting is one position in life. All right, let's go to the second reference. Here it is. Walking. The second position we do life from is walking. Read with me Isaiah 30 in your notes. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, we do most of our life walking around. You walked into the building. You walked to your car. We spend most of our life walking. I heard this some years ago, but I think it's such a good insight. It's called the 3-mile-per-hour God. So I'll have Jake put that up. 3-mile-an-hour God. So Jesus lived in the country of Israel. That's where he did his ministry. And you know how he did it? 3 miles per hour. Think about it. He didn't have a car. There's not the social media. He didn't have all that. You know what? He just walked around. 3 miles per hour. That's the average speed of anybody walking. He can walk, you know, 3 miles in 1 hour. About 20 minutes is an hour, or 20 minutes is a mile. So 3 miles an hour is the average speed. And you and I basically walk that every day. But here's the dilemma. Here's the next picture. We live in a 65-mile-per-hour world. No wonder we're tired people. We're trying to hit the 65-mile-per-hour deal, and we should just learn to walk. We learn to go slower. We need to spend time with people. Jesus did his entire ministry all about connecting with people at 3 miles per hour. What's the pace of your life? I mean, if we're all honest, we're kind of running and we're on the move and so forth. But the point is this. Spend time walking through life. Listen, go 3 miles per hour. Slow the pace of your life. It's okay. That's what Jesus did. Touch people, encourage them, love them, speak to them. Family, friends, who it is. Just go through life. Slow it down. You're not waiting, you're walking. You're moving forward, not very fast, but it'll work. That's how we do most of life. That's position number two. Let's go to number three. The third position is what I'll call running. Isaiah says, you can run and not be weary. Now, read with me Hebrews 12:1 in your notes. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, life is compared to a race that we run. In this particular text context, I'm not talking about actually physically jogging or running, but rather the pace of our life, okay? I want to explain that. So when you think about running, we end up running a lot. The month of December, I came to realize, when if you're in college, you're studying and cramming for exams, you pick up the pace from walking. You're metaphorically running. You want to get a good grade. During December, we go Christmas shopping at the stores, and we buy food, and people come to visit, so some people got to get all the linen and the bedding clean, and you got to clean the house because company's coming. What you're doing, you were walking for a while, but then you picked up the pace, and now you feel like you're really cranking. And so the month of December, I found experientially, we end up running. We had a Christmas variety show. Kids came over the house, youth group. You start doing a whole bunch of stuff jammed together. I feel like I'm running. And you know what? With your work, there may be a deadline you have to meet or something you gotta fulfill at a certain time, and you gotta really ramp it up. I've talked with different people who've worked in group homes, and they get mandated to work another shift because they're short on workers. You know what they're doing? They're picking up the pace. They didn't really want to, but they got to do another 8-hour shift. And so you pile one thing onto the other after another, and all of a sudden the pace of my life is really picked up. And I feel like I'm running. And it's okay to run. It's okay to run. But I want to give you the secret. I mean, the insight of when you need to step it down and quit running, okay? Here it is. It's a slide. Run often. Run far, but never outrun your joy of running. Let me explain that. People who run physically, you hit a runner's high, but as you apply this to the pace of our life, listen, when people are required to work a lot, when Christmas comes along and there's all these activities to go to and meals and so forth and presents to buy, and all of a sudden the third week of December, we're just really ramped up. We are in stride. We are running. It feels good, but here's what happens. Listen, you reach a point where you lose your joy. It's okay to run. It's okay to go fast. We all do that in different parts of life, different times. And you can do it for a while. But you know when you need to stop and let up and wait? When you lose your joy. You know what happens? We get cranky. We get grouchy. We get tired. We're touchy. We're reactive. You know what's happening? We've been running for so long, I'm tired. I've lost my joy. You go ahead and work hard at work. You go ahead and do activities and do this and that during the week. But I tell you what, you will reach a point if you go too long, you will lose the joy of the pace of your life. And God is saying it's time to intentionally slow down and you need to refuel. So you always know when you're running hard, the pace of your life is fast. You always know you need to pull it back when you lose your joy of running. waiting, walking, running. I want to give you the fourth category in this text. I love this one. Here it is. The fourth position we do life in is mounting up. Now, Isaiah says this. He says, they that wait upon the Lord, in other words, delay action. You stay in one place. You renew your strength. You somehow refuel. But here's what happens. Fourth position. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. So an eagle, when the eagle takes off, do you know when it expends the most amount of energy? When it's taking off. There's gravity to overcome, and they're mounting up. They're ready to push off on something new. I got a picture I want to show you. Here it is. This is a picture of the shuttle. And let me read to you what I found out about the shuttle when it takes off. At liftoff, the two solid rocket boosters consume 11,000 pounds of fuel per second. That's 2 million times the rate which fuel is burned by the average car. Do you know when the shuttle expends the most energy and power is needed? When it's taking off. I mean, enormous, enormous energy. When it gets into space and it's on this, you know, this flight pattern, I mean, it can just kind of keep going because of the inertia and the energy. But the greatest expenditure is when it takes off. Now, I want you to grasp this. There are times in your life where you have to mount up. You start a new job. You got to mount up. It's taxing. You go to college. You got exams. You got to mount up. You have got people come into your house. You got company. And you want to clean it. And you're mounting up. I mean, it's a push. You start a new ministry in church. You do something different. You're unfamiliar with it. You're mounting up. You're saying, I got to go from ground level, I got to take off, and it's a big push. Now, here's the insight. Mounting up requires the highest degree of energy. I want you to understand, when you hit those times of crisis modes in your life or you're required to do a whole lot, that's why you get so tired, or you can become tired very easily, because the liftoff requires so much. The eagle has to mount up. But when it gets airborne, it can just kind of glide and sail. Now, there's a great example in the scriptures of somebody mounting up. His name is Caleb. There, you know the story. You know, the children of Israel, the first generation, they didn't believe God for it, and God judged them and said, okay, if you don't want to believe me, I'll send the next generation in. There were two guys, Joshua and Caleb, who believed God's promise and thought they could do it the first time, but the majority of the 10 of the 12 spies won and influenced the people not to do it. So, two guys are alive. Joshua, who's now the leader, Caleb was the other person. It's 45 years later, after the first generation stumbled and it didn't happen. Okay, read with me this text in your notes. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. He's 85. 45 years earlier, he was age 40. He had the opportunity to go into the promised land, but he couldn't. So over four decades have now transpired. And he says, hey, here I am, 85. And here's what he asked of Joshua. He said, give me the hill country. It's Hebron. And Hebron was where his ancestors were buried. And it had been under the control of the enemy for decades. He wanted the hill country to go and clean it up and protect it and make it his own. But he's 85 and he says, Liz, give me the hill country. There was a battle ahead and he's 85 years old. But he says, give it to me. You know what he was doing? He was mounting up. He says, I want this. I'm passionate about it and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to make a difference. And that's what he did. But let me tell you, he had to mount up. Now, whether you are young, middle-aged, or old, there's a great secret here of what you want to mount up for. Look with me at this verse, or these verses, when he says, now give me this hill country, which is Hebron, that the Lord promised me that day. Listen, here it is. Do you know what you want to go to bat for in life? What you want to mount up for, expend your energy on, you want to go for it? Listen, here it is. What God had promised him 45 years earlier. And so Caleb had been reflecting, waiting, hoping for the 45 years for this opportunity. You see, you want to mount up on what God has promised in your life. I mean, you get into the Word, and many of you have promises that you say, hey, I believe God wants to do this in me or for my family, and you are expecting that. That's where you mount up. Don't mount up on the things that don't mean anything or God doesn't want you doing. I mean, know what you're going after. You want to be in line with his purposes. And Caleb, age 85, says, hey, I may be older, but I feel pretty good. And I'm willing to go to bat for it. I'll go fight the enemy in the hill country because God promised me over four decades ago I could inherit Hebron. You see, God has an inheritance for you. And regardless of race, you say, what do I do with my life? Here's what you do with it. Figure out and discern as you wait what he wants you to do, and then go for it. You will expend great energy, but you will, it's what you were made for, your destiny, your sense of purpose, your sense of who you are. Go for it. And you'll find great fulfillment in life. Four positions. Waiting. That's when you get renewed. Walking 3 miles per hour. That's just how we do most of life. But be careful, you don't get sucked into the world draft of wanting to go faster. But then there are times where we run. We got to pick up the pace, and that's good. But listen, you know you need to pull back when you lose your joy, okay? There's your acid test. I'm running, it feels good, I love it, but I need to pull back a bit. And then there are times where you just mount up. God calls you to do something new. Or you get excited about some kind of a idea. It's like blast off, lift off. And Caleb experienced that even at age 85. I think that's marvelous, don't you? All right, here's my last slide. God works while you wait. As you think about this week, my hunch is most of us need some wait time in God's presence. I mean, we need to refuel. We need to get priority on what's most important. We just need to slow it down. Do that this week if you're in that boat. I mean, renew yourself. You know why? God will prepare you for the next mounting up. You can't mount up over and over again. You know what? You end up burned out and exhausted. You have to have a season or a rhythm of refueling. And Eugene Peterson in The Message talks about the rhythms of grace. Let me just close with this thought. We all have a rhythm in our life. And when you get into the rhythm, you know when you're walking, you know when you're going to have to run, and you kind of get a sense of where you're going to have to mount up. I mean, that's where the highest expenditure happens. You learn to live in the rhythms of God's grace so that you can live or run the marathon. You do the whole thing called life. Because if you don't obey or mind the rhythms of your body and this cycle of life, I tell you, we crash, don't we? I've done that. It's not fun. We all just get burned out. We overdo it. We overextend. But if I'm mindful of the rhythms of grace, the rhythms of my life, of energy expenditure, of time awaiting, then I walk, and then maybe I'll run, but I'll pull back, and then I got to mount up. I tell you, that's the secret, the four positions talked about here of how we do life. All right. So I hope that as you leave here today, Jack was wrong, that you actually listened, right? Thank you for responding. That was the answer. You gave me the answer I want. So I want to close in prayer, and I want you to figure out where you're at in your energy expenditure so that you know what to do this week. I think you already know. It's getting that sense of rhythm and balance back. So let's bow for prayer, shall we? Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful congregation of people, even those listening online. Thank you for your call to just work together and do good things. And even when we run, it's awesome for hitting full stride. Or when we mount up, we launch something new. Lord, I pray you'll give us each wisdom this morning as to whether we just need to intentionally wait, slow the pace, prioritize, get clarity, renew our emotional and mental and physical well-being. Give us wisdom today, this moment, for this week to come of what we need to do just to serve you and respect the rhythms of who we are in your presence. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon this people here, that this coming week you'll give us a good week. A good week just to love people at 3 miles an hour, to wait, to care for others, to do good things, to be a light in their darkness. But just give us a sense of caring for ourselves so that we can prepare for the next mounting up. For this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.